couple of weeks ago, Ian, in his talk, reminded us that we are on a journey. We're on a journey, and last week we spoke about heaven, which is, for the believer, our final destination, something to truly look forward to. Hallelujah. Heaven is our home. This is not our home. And we spoke, perhaps somewhat feebly, because we just cannot get our mind, our finite mind, around what the Lord has indeed prepared for those who love Him. We have glimpses of it, and we were able to speak of some of the things that will not be there for all who enter that celestial city, that place which the Lord has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. There will be no tears, there'll be no pain, there'll be no heartache, sadness. It will be glory, but it will also be a place of service. I do hope that there will be harps there. I'm sure there will be. One of my favourite instruments. We miss them here. For 20-odd years, I've been looking for a harpist for this church. None have yet come, but I pray that as yet, or one of you may think, I'm going to bless Pastor Jim. I'm going to have lessons. I'm going to learn to play a harp. Because it's a wonderful instrument. Actually, it's mentioned in the scriptures. Did you know? But there will be serving. We will be serving each other. We will be reigning as kings and priests. And Jesus will be there. Hallelujah. God himself makes his dwelling among us. It's incredible. And friends, having just thinking about these things and meditating on the Word of God should give us such hope, such faith, such courage, such confidence that even our present trials pale into insignificance. In fact, that's what the Word says. What are our trials, which are but temporary compared to the eternity of living, loving, being with Jesus? We sung a song just now, Are We Ready? You know, there's nothing vile can enter heaven. There's nothing vile can enter heaven. Say, well, I feel pretty miserable and vile, but have you now been covered by the righteousness of Jesus? Have your sins, your vileness, been washed away by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Will you turn with me just for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2, because there is, in the meantime, we're not yet in heaven. Hallelujah. We're not there yet. We are on this journey. And I just want all of us, the children and us, just for the Lord to speak with us. We sung just now that I lift my hands to the coming King. And then the verse says, you know, I'm not going to serve idols and anything which is in the way of my wholehearted devotion to Jesus. I lay it down. And 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 11 says this. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of salvation. And that also, that's that verse 12, takes me back, of course, to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7, where Jesus, having spoken about the Beatitudes, he goes on to say, look, you're the salt. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light. Don't hide your light. And this goes on about your good works, that others will see them. Now, they're not works done in the flesh. They are the outworking of what the Lord is doing in your life, in my life, through his Holy Spirit. that we're cooperating as co-workers, co-laborers with him. And the word is clear there. When people see something of the love of Jesus, something of the mercy of the Lord, something of his compassion, that you are different, that you recognize that you are sojourners, pilgrims, strangers, aliens here, that they will glorify the Lord. In the day of his visitation, it may mean the day when he brings you to a saving knowledge of self. It may be when he comes to judge. I don't know. But they will glorify him because you are deemed that the Lord is worthy to follow wholeheartedly. And you've taken up your cross. You've denied yourself because you know you're a pilgrim. This is not your home. Hallelujah. The Authorized Version, the King James Version, says strangers and pilgrims. The NIV talks about aliens and pilgrims. We're aliens here. Now, what does that mean? Now, we may have a picture of an alien. Green, big head, slimy, no nose. But I don't see any of those here this morning. I don't expect to. I'm glad I don't. But I am looking at a bunch of aliens, a group of aliens, people who recognize they don't belong here. They don't belong here. Hallelujah. Friends, this is how we are to think of ourselves, particularly in these climatic last days. And I love this. Do you see that first verse in verse 11? Beloved. Beloved. This is not just Peter saying, look, you're beloved. You're close to me. You mean so much to me. The Lord is saying, you are my beloved. And because I've given my life for you, because I have redeemed you, because I've made my dwelling place with you, live as Jesus lived, separate from the world, not defiled by the world, in the world, doing good in the world, but he lived as well as an alien, beloved. You see, we have to do that because this planet, this earth, is under the dominion of the evil one at this moment in time. It is under the dominion of the evil one, the God of this world, who had blinded my eyes until I saw by faith Jesus, and who's blinding many people. I believe he's blinding our government. Doesn't matter what color the government is, the government of the world. The iniquity and the iniquitous laws that are being passed, and such little seeming compassion for those who have not, those who are desperate. And, of course, the things which are coming in to turn people away from the one and true living God. So we're not just simply foreigners. We are actually, at this moment, on enemy turf. We dare not forget that, friends. Our sense of identity, individually, as a church, should not be derived from the world, but from our relationship to God and to his people. Hallelujah. And we're bound for heaven. Glory to his name. So the idea is simply that we're living lives different to those who are still in bondage to sin. Our lives are different. Christ is living in us, so to help us and to enable us to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Our thoughts, our affections, our mind is on Christ, on eternal matters. Folk, if we hang on to this world's values, if we hang on to this world's lifestyles, we are telling our neighbours, we're telling other members of our family, we're telling our colleagues, we're telling our peers at school that there's nothing better to live for than what they're living for. But if we're truly showing forth that we have a relationship with the Lord, that we know this isn't our home, we want to be a blessing here, we want to be a good witness here, we want to be fruitful here as we abide in Christ, but something better awaits. And unless they see something about the love of the Lord in us and the power of the gospel through us, they won't see anything. Why do they want what we've got? But they do need what we've got. We are radically different by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in these last days that will become more apparent. We'll become so desperate to know Jesus more and more, and to hold the things of this world loosely. So Peter refers to us as aliens. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Because we get another sense, and this is our Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, talking to his followers. Chapter 15 and verse 18. Thank you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Because we're different. It doesn't. I hope it's not hating me or it's not hating you because we're obnoxious, because we're arrogant or unloving or uncaring, unsympathetic. But it hates us because they hate Jesus at this moment in time. That we're a threat. Because we don't belong. That we have something. That we're pure. We're separated from all that defiles. That we long. That we are able, by the grace of the Lord, to resist the devil. Resist temptations. That we don't go along with what they want us to do. Young people, as you will be tempted, you will be tested. People, your colleagues will say, oh, there's no harm in this. Try this, do this, go there, hang around here. No, I can't. I belong to Jesus. I don't want to foul up my life. I don't want to disappoint my Lord. And when we are determined to stand for Jesus, supernaturally, he gives us the strength. He gives us the power. And it does make us feel good about being a Christian, because if when we do give in and think, oh, we're just this once, there's no harm in it, the enemy's got his clutches on us, and it's one step down a slippery slope, which Jesus doesn't want, and then we feel bad about ourselves. Thankfully, once we realise we've done wrong, we sort of gave in to a temptation, we gave in to peer pressure, whatever. Once we acknowledge that and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned, he forgives us. He does forgive us. And then we are determined not to make that mistake again. When another temptation comes along, we think, no, I gave in last time. Get behind me, Satan. It is written in the Word. I belong to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. In two chapters later, Jesus is still praying for his disciples in chapter 17 and verse 11. John 17, verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. He's praying to his Father. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I just love that. Friends, let that word speak to you right now. And I just mentioned about the temptations and the struggles that all of us have. You know, the opening verse that we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, you know, don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Every single one of us is tempted that way. Don't give in. Don't, you know, just put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put the Lord Jesus. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. But when we are tempted, when our friends, or so-called friends sometimes, maybe even family members, are trying to take us down a road which is away from God, is on the broad way rather than the narrow way, the prayer of Jesus is to the Father, hey, keep them. Keep them. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the temptation. Because we're beloved. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus is our great advocate even now. Hallelujah. I love that. Whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep them through your name. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Do you see that? Jesus is saying, I'm an alien here. I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a sojourner, I'm a foreigner. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's why we pray, deliver me, keep me from the evil, from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart. May we be willing to be set apart. Holy, holy, holy. Your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Hallelujah. So even Jesus said that he was not of this world. And that means Jesus was an alien too. So at the heart of this mindset, knowing that we're on a journey, our destination is heaven, we get to heaven through faith, through trust in the Lord Jesus, laying down our lives, serving him, obeying him, is this precious, precious truth. We are beloved by God. We are beloved by God. In chapter 1 of Peter, just possibly the final scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, and the opening verse, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims, see, to the pilgrims. Who's read Pilgrim's Progress? Maybe a long time ago. Yeah. Pilgrim's Progress, yeah. Yeah. Great, great book. It's the second most popular book after the Bible. Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. There's a children's version as well. So it's probably in the library, isn't it? But we are pilgrims. Hallelujah. But we're beloved by the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, this is so wonderful, wonderful. Where are we? Sorry? Thank you. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. That goes on, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 4, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fail away. And that's why Jesus says in another place, doesn't he? Guys, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Hey, that's where moth and rust cannot corrupt, cannot destroy, eternal. Things on earth will fade away, they're spoiling. Even our bodies are corrupting. So friends, the fact that Christ loves me, Christ loves you so much that he's called you to be out of this world, called you to himself, and is preparing something so splendid that we have very few words to describe it, that should give us the motivation that we need to even endure hardship while on this earth for the glory that awaits us. Seeing yourselves as beloved of God. Friends, if we see ourselves as strangers, sojourners, pilgrims, aliens in this life, it means that we have a different mindset. We recognize that we are passing through, and that therefore we don't live to the customs necessarily of this present age. There are neutral things, obviously. I love going to India, you know that. Vera spent many, many years in India. Others have been to India and other countries. When I go to India, I'm certainly not a native. They can see straight away that I don't belong there. There's one or two things I try to adapt to their customs. I've not yet succeeded in eating with my fingers, so I don't bother. So they graciously give me a spoon and a fork. And that's very kind of them. But I try and adapt to their food they eat. If they give me a toothpick, what I learned was that I hide the toothpick. It's not good manners. It's not a good custom for anyone to see you with a toothpick. In this country, if I'm at home or in a restaurant, I don't mind. I give it a good scrape. But there's customs which I can just adapt to, which are not necessarily, you know, wrong or good or anything, because I'm in a different country and I don't want to wrong them. But what I would not do is go to a temple. I would not go to and bow down at horrible foreign gods or idols. I would not do that. I could not do that. But we are passing through. If I stay in a nice hotel, I don't suddenly get out all my best pictures, a picture of the Yorkshire moors and these lovely scenes, and put them in the hotel room and think, ah, this is now my home. I'm passing through. You know, that's not my destination. Similarly, friends, in this life, we are passing through. We're in the land of the dying, heading towards the land of the living. We're in the land of the dying, heading, praise God, towards the land of the living. We're sojourners, we're aliens, we're pilgrims, we're strangers on this earth, but we're heading, blessed be his name, as pilgrims to a glorious destination. Pray that each one of us will adopt that mindset, which includes constantly remembering that we aren't staying here for long. Our home is in heaven. We should live like it. God has prepared something better for us. Hallelujah. A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God. He has prepared a city for us. Hallelujah. And having that mindset will make all the difference to the way we live now. Wanting to glorify Jesus, wanting to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to share our faith, hear what the Lord has done for me, and not going the way of the world and sinning for a short time, but that we would resist it and live for Jesus. It's so much better. And he lives his life through you, through me. And it gives us joy. Gives us joy. Happiness is temporary. Joy comes from the heart. It's eternal. And it's the peace which God gives. Amen.